would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 91.
Hello,
Paul and Barry.
Hello, how are we doing?
We're being quiet.
We're being quiet. It's 9:20.
On Thursday. 19th of the Aprilage.
Yep, that's right. And Hazel is asleep upstairs, and she had a difficult put-down sleep tonight, so...
I can't imagine why. Because it's like as hot as mercury.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we have a freak moment of warm weather in Britain at the moment. April doesn't get this warm.
Average temperature is 11.
And it hit 29 apparently in London.
Just 29.
I don't think it was that warm here, but
it was 21 now.
Yeah.
In the garage.
Yeah.
At 9 o'clock at half nine at night.
It's gorgeous.
Middle of April.
Mm-hmm.
It's like being back in Lanzarote, man. This is exactly what it was. Well, not even this warm.
So we haven't recorded for a while because Barry's been away on holiday, and I've been away on a holiday in much not as exotic as Barry's.
Knotty Wood or Knotty Ash or somewhere.
Puzzlewood.
Puzzlewood.
Yeah, which is the Forest of Dean. Yeah, it's on the Welsh border.
Lovely.
Yeah, Monmouthshire, I think.
Lovely scenery.
It was, and you know what? So this wood is the inspiration behind Tolkien. A lot of Tolkien's writing about Lothlorien and stuff. The way the wood is, it is like because it was old Roman mines, I think, that had been overgrown and time and everything. And it was just it's not a big wood, but like you walk around it going all the different paths and stuff. But everything is done like a film set, and they in fact film even as films as recent as. The first new Star Wars movie had scenes filmed in this wood, apparently.
You have to pay to get in the wood.
We stayed in cottages that then allowed you unlimited access.
You were in the wood?
Not in the wood, but like in close by. It was lovely, actually. It was.
Right.
What was nice was it was my side of the family all getting along and being a nice family.
That happened often then?
Well, it's just nice to... be part of that, you know. It's just like, we got this lovely, you know, gap of time where my parents are young enough, still young enough to
still
do those
active,
kind of things,
yeah.
And those times are precious.
Mm-hmm. We're having a beer and Moretti.
Yeah, beer and Moretti. Mm.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. So, very dapper Irish or Italian. He's wearing the Irish green, though. So.
Well, I think, yeah, he's a classic Italian man from the 1859,
he says. Anyway, so that's good. And so tonight's episode, 91, is about War Master Ancients.
Yeah.
Because while I was away, sunning my arse off, you were playing games.
Yeah, I was. So I had a War Master Ancients play day. So that was in Saffron Walden with Jim and Alex and Jeff. And
that'll be our main topic.
Yeah, that's be our main topic. Yeah.
So what's been happening in Paul's world?
In Paul's world, so
it's big ass 3 week Paul's world. So buckle up, people.
All right, highlights then. I played some Epic Armageddon. I had another session.
Still
of...
Still playing Ultramarines.
Yeah. They're boxed up in the case, ready to go to the tournament. But because there's a gap on my shelf there. But so on Saturday I'm going to play in Simon's Epic, you know, event in Leicester. To be honest, it is a bit further than I'd want to go. For an event,
it's a decent run out of this.
But you know, it's his event. You know, it's the only one he runs, and I can do it. So, you know, why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
Have you learned how to face Elder yet? Because I think that they're the space elves. Always those fucking elves.
I think the draw shows that I'm probably playing against the. I'm playing against the guy who's probably going to use orcs, which is okay. And I hope he doesn't mind crushing a new player. But playing, I mean, my grasp on the rules is okay. But I hope everyone I play is a more experienced player than me. You know, because you've got plenty of time. It seems to play the game. I'm not fantastic on the rules when it gets... It's not that it's a complicated rule set, it's just that I'm not familiar with it. I've only played
I don't remember there being that many dice.
No.
Not like 40k, not bucket old dice.
No, there isn't. I mean, I think because my list is very nice and very, like, you know, one of everything.
I think very Paul.
Very me. I think it will come and it will get unstuck against some matchups, I imagine. You know, like, because... but it's, you know, I should be able to give anything a game with it, equally. I've not gone for a skew list at all. And but Marines are hard to use because they're not very forgiving because they don't have numbers. Like, I don't, like, I was chatting with the guy that's been teaching me. Like, I've played twice now out of this club in Bethnal Green. And it's like, how am I going to beat, like, a big Orc war band? Like, because when it comes into the fight, like, if you roll a lot of dice, a lot of guys, it seems to work. Isn't, like, it seems to be...
You don't roll many dice. Lots of guys roll lots of dice.
My Marines just roll one dice each, the same as something else would. And it's like, yeah, I have to be wary of that. And that's how, in this second game I played, he used Thousand Sons. And I got beaten, essentially, by... Because his brigades... It's like he had three infantry brigades and formations, they're called, a unit, and a Determinator one, but they all had demons, a pool of demons. A lot of his points were spent in troops held summoning units.
Oh, right.
And you think, okay, so, but these Thousand Sons were really quite difficult to get to die, to kill, because they're all rocking around with reinforced armour in the game, which basically as good an armour save as it gets. And there isn't any modifier.
Better than, like, Space Marines, better than Terminators.
Oh, the same as Terminators. Basically, okay. They have the same as Terminators.
Right.
And there isn't any modifiers to armour in the game. You either get your save or you don't get your save.
Right.
Yeah, and there's little that gives... they're called macro weapons that doesn't give you an armour save. There's little.
Yeah, they're fucking enormous.
Yeah,
weapons.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, these things are walking through my, you know, my attacks. And when he triggered it, you know, I got attacked. My main units got attacked in the front by a firefight summoning demons. That hurt. I came off worse. Mm. And then I got hit again by Terminators summoning demons behind me. And getting hit twice was just, you know, like, took me out. And we had to basically reimagine that turn, that bit of that turn, to make the game go on a bit longer because I'd already lost.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm expecting that. I mean, like, but I'm not...
Because you can't do anything when you're overly, like... is it blast marks? Then you can't... You just... not being able to...
Marines can take twice the amount, you know, that it requires to suppress them. But yeah, that's
once exactly you suppress
right.
your knack,
once you're suppressed, you've got to spend a turn getting your set of stuff back together. There's only three turns in the game.
Exactly.
You know, it's like
yeah. I remember that element of it. The game that was quite It's very interesting. You don't tend to. I don't remember destroying very much stuff.
But
make it combat ineffective.
Like, formations of like armored vehicles, they're more likely to die than formations of like infantry units. Because you say you just don't actually roll that many attacks, but I do. There's having played the game twice now. I've had two games of Epic Armageddon against the same guy, and a part of that I'll reflect is like, yeah, he's a very good person to teach me. But they've been really good games, actually. It's like it's a lovely game system, and it's like so. I'm quite looking forward to this thing on set. I'm not looking forward to the time to get there. But,
what time's kickoff?
It's 9 o'clock.
Oh my god, that's like 6:30 leaving or something.
Yeah. But it's the same time I wake up when I go to work. I'm just not going to work that day. So that will be interesting.
Okay, well, that'll be fun. And then, have you been playing anything else? I've got a couple of little bits to talk about.
I've been playing some Shadespire.
We're in an interesting place with that now. The FAQ really didn't do a great deal, did it? Because as soon as it launched, they released two new packs, and now the world's gone fucking crazy. We've got people rage quitting and shit.
I'm surprised about that, but
we won't mention any names. We'll be on such.
But that seems a bit. Well, I don't know, a bit too much. You follow?
Well, I don't know. You're already 120 in.
Yeah.
By this stage, so you'll be about 150 by the time phase one ends.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Well, I mean. Well.
I don't know. It's not.
You get a lot for your money, though.
Yeah.
I don't feel cheated.
No. God no. I mean, the two new factions are up there. Have you seen them, Barry?
Only pictures of them, but I do feel cheated when I watch the rules lawyering and arguments on Facebook. Jesus wept. They can't even agree about the meaning of, like, just normal words.
I know, it's silly, isn't it?
Do you see the one today?
I did not see it.
Oh, it's just fantastic, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got this, you can play a ploy.
Yeah.
And basically the next attack against one of your fighters.
Yeah.
However much damage
it does
is
one
done,
damage, yeah.
Just one damage. Yeah. So this guy is saying, what if I play a ploy on my fighter and he takes no damage? Can I now take one damage and inspire him?
No, you can't. No, you can't. Oh, my God.
He says, no damage is still a number.
No, it's not.
You see, you haven't even been attacked. You see, but I took zero damage. Zero is a number. So just fuck off. Just fucking leave this game alone, please.
Oh, dear.
And that, there was like 100 posts.
About that?
Because they were like in the toss that zero is a number.
But why do you even bother reading these things?
Because it makes me laugh.
Because it makes, oh, okay, you do it for amusement.
Yeah, right. Of course, because like, it's obvious what the intent of the card is.
Yeah, exactly.
But because of the way English works, you can interpret whatever you want. You can bring your own preconceptions into whatever you want.
Well, I don't know.
If you can't even agree, this very, very simple, like, it was really really clearly written.
Yeah.
If you can't even agree that one, then you've got no hope.
Yeah, forget it. Mm-hmm.
They're going to be writing FAQs till they're a fucking 1,000 pages long.
Well, I did see on the Warhammer community, like, an email they sent out that they've now stated, they put in writing how they're FAQing their main game, which is 40K. How often they're going to do it? They're going to do 2 big FAQs a year.
Wow.
And they said April and October, those FAQs will be out. And they will introduce beta rules for you to try that might go solid, that might go to actual changes
in an
FAQ. So, like, this one that's come out,
right.
As, like, these are the changes and these are proposed changes, which will... It's quite sensible.
Which could then go into the annual thing.
Yeah. Do you want to see the post? Do you want to see it?
I think I heard Anthony talking about it.
Yeah, it's quite well organised. And they said, like, when they do a codex, they will do an FAQ for that codex shortly afterwards, you know, to cover any... thing that some other people have seen, they've noticed, so they'll get that nailed straight away. That's what we mean by that.
Yeah, because they're still not externally playtesting, so they still miss stuff just by the nature of it.
Of course, but at least they're not in an ivory tower, not communicating. You know, so that's something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So Shadespawn, we still like that.
Oh no, I am. I mean, I played Rodders on Wednesday because I was there after my shift. And I like the game. Yeah, like, I mean, I don't think that this this whole, oh, you can't use objective decks at all. Well, I don't know. Wait and see. I ain't seen it yet. Yeah, like, I mean, I'm not that I've played the game a lot, but, you know.
Well, I can only tell you from my other card game experiences, it's like, not every type of deck is always viable.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes the meta's so harsh against a certain style of deck, you can't run it.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, if like you're trying to play a control deck and everybody's playing like really quick aggro, you'll just lose.
Yeah, well, that's the magic player in you. Yeah. Exactly. And you just adapt. And this whole thing to throw you, sort of like declare you're like, oh, that's sensationalism over something before you've even has seen it happen. Just like what you think will happen theoretically and you haven't actually tried it yet. I think that's a bit silly, to be honest. I think in terms of like, well, you know, why don't you actually try it first before, like, as in declaring, like, you know, oh, that means this now.
I think if you expect, like, a game where they're chucking out stuff constantly, let's say, for example, 40K, and you expect to always be able to play your list competitively, then you're living in a fucking dream world.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. You might be able to play it friendly.
Yeah.
But you can't expect, like, everything to always be perfectly balanced against everything.
No, I mean it's very
that's
hard to do, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
you have to have a very, very simple game to do that, like chess. And even that has somebody has to go first. Yeah. Well, it does, doesn't it?
That's
like,
true, yeah.
That is the thing about chess, isn't it? It's just like, somebody has to go first, and that is an inherent advantage.
I'm a little bit pissed they've already brought another set of Marines there.
But, at least they're different, aren't they?
And I've heard about in the next set, there's another set of fucking Marines.
Well, of course they are. They're their poster child. They're the Marines.
God damn Marines.
They're GW's mistake you've got to live with.
The fucking...
I don't mind that. I mean, I quite enjoyed painting them. You know, I do have something interesting about it, though. About, you know...
I'll tell you what you can do. You can pull up those sea elves, because I haven't even seen them yet.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
While you, mm-hmm. While I tell them, the good listeners, about my excitement.
I mean, I'm not finished, but...
Oh, you're never finished, so I just have to cut you off after 20 minutes.
All right, okay.
So,
there's two other things I want to mention. One is... Age of Sigma, something. I've got something for that.
Age of Sigma or something?
Yeah, no.
We're talking about Age of Sigma now. Let's do it.
Okay, cool.
While he's pulling up the sea elves, that I haven't seen yet, apparently it's a turtle.
Yes. Okay.
I'm sure it's lovely.
And let's go on.
Have they got pointy ears?
Yes. Here they are. The Idleth Deepkin.
Idleth?
I think that's how you say it.
I blame... When they made that flying boat, I think that's when things went badly wrong.
When they made it.
The High Elves had a flying boat.
Okay, that's all you can see of it so far, isn't it? Yeah, you want to see the turtle, don't you?
I just need to see an elf, really. I don't really care. A turtle's a turtle.
So that is... This one is an aspect of Mahan. So that's like an elf stylized, what he would like if he wasn't messed up.
Aspect of Mahan? Jibber-jabber, sir. You're talking...
Well, that's not how the... That's like... That's a conjured being. That's not actually how the race looks.
Well, that's very entertaining, isn't it? They like these big set-piece models now, don't they?
Well, it shows how advanced their... Yeah, models are getting, isn't it, in terms of that? I mean, like, because his cloak is his base, and that represents the sea. You know, it's like, okay, fair enough.
So what's your Age of Sigmar story?
So, yeah, basically...
Idleth Deepkin.
Yeah. So a friend of mine, Alex McGee, who I always used to play fantasy against.
He's done some painting for me.
Anyway, he's recently had some run of form in Age of Sigmar tournaments. Like he's actually,
there is a thing.
Yeah, but like he's actually like won. And I was like, I was intrigued by this because in like the nicest possible.
Whoa! There's two halves of a fucking boat here.
Yeah. Well, that's a bit of scenery. Yeah.
Oh, you get the boat, do you?
Yeah. Like,
I thought we were playing in an aquarium.
Yeah. Well, you basically are with this faction. it looks like you are.
Okay.
Anyway, so this guy Alex, like in the nicest sense, he's just not very good at games in general, and it's like, you know, and
he's not a competitive type, really.
Well, I'm not that I've known him to be. No. Anyway, I was intrigued, and I was like, can you? Because he regularly plays a guy at Age of Sigmar, and I was like, do you mind if I come along and have a watch? I'm quite interested to see your like tournament list, what it looks like, and how the game goes down. Yeah, I'm generally quite interested.
There's a guy here with a, I don't know what he's got in head, like a plant pot on his head.
Yeah.
And he's got an octopus
model. Sherwin loves that model. Yeah. So, if you want to, like, the entire urchin, basically...
And the octopus has got a club in one of his
senses. Yeah, and a knife. Yeah, like, he's got... he's a killer octopus. Yeah.
And a lamp.
Yeah, he's got a C, hasn't he? But yeah, so in that fluff there's some of that race are more purer than others and have souls, and most of them are like these mistakes that don't have souls, and they're very dark elf in the sense of what their concept is. They have to go raiding to get people's souls to keep going.
Is it Thor 2?
Yeah,
like that. They're very much like that.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so my point is, this date gets arranged, and I go along to have a watch of this Age of Sigmar game, and I was like, took a few pictures. Like the guy who was playing, John, had a lovely looking like painted corn army, and I was like, I can appreciate a nice army, like as much as anybody. This looks like a nice army. Had a bloodthirster in its ranks and stuff. And Alex's one had Nagash in it, you know, the classic.
The Nagash.
Who's actually a god in this, like, anyway. And I'm like, the thing is the scenario, like, they were playing, you can see that 40K has taken its nod from how they've organised Age of Sigmar, because it's like they're playing in a match play scenario and stuff, so they actually have a reason to their fighting. Right. And it isn't just about, you don't have to, like, just kill the opponent, it's all about controlling 6 points on the battlefield. That's fair enough. It's quite simple. Like, you know, quite a simple concept. But the thing is individual pieces in the both armies were so strong, that's all the armies were. Like, literally, Alex's army was Nagash, so a bodyguard of two, like, big, like, like Mortarks, I think they're
called. Meat shields.
No, it's in, like, big skeleton-like things. They were in Warhammer originally. I can't remember their name. And they came in the end times. And then big units of skeleton warriors, which would just sit on these objectives.
Yeah.
And so all these, and literally one of his turns, because he doesn't have any shooting, one of his turns he didn't do anything. It's just because he didn't need to. It's like the only piece he's really playing with much is Nagash. You know, is like, yeah, and it's very Hero Hammer, as my point is. You know,
well, I don't even think Hero Hammer got that bad. This sounds like fucking an abomination.
Well, I mean, even like me, this is the fact, let's say, like, this is the first, like, Age of Sigmar game I'd paid attention to, real attention to, and it, like, this Nagash guy was just so OP, Like, he was... So he could barely be hurt. And when he was hurt, he had spells to regain wounds. Literally, he had some rules where he reflected back damage that he was taken. So this unit was in combat with him. Like, it was a big unit of blood letters, you know, like, letter demons.
Yeah.
And they did some wounds, but half the wounds resulted in them losing their own models. And I was like, so hang on. And it's like, there's battle shock in it, but both armies had rules to ignore battle shock. So basically, that ain't a rule then, isn't it? You know, like, if armies have exception to them, they don't have rule. They're not, it's not. So, and I was just like, that's the problem, is it's just Hero Hammer. You know,
when I saw the game at the club, I think I told you about the giant squig.
Yeah.
The squig was like a fucking football. So there's one guy had a giant squig and some other chaff.
Yeah.
And the other guy had, I can't remember what he had, another massive model and a load of chaff. So basically, it's just what was that? There's a game of War Machine where you just had Colossal Hammer. I can't remember the name of it. Colossal Mania. So you had a Warcaster and a Colossal. Yeah. And that's what it looked like to me. Yeah. But without a Warcaster.
Yeah, no. And the thing is, so they played their game. And it didn't go. It didn't take an over long time. But I was just like, it didn't, you know, I wouldn't mind if I was lent an army, I would use it, I suppose. But I'm not going to, it didn't make me think, oh, that's a great game system. It was very much like, I'm sure when your story comes up about your 40K game you played last night, you know, like what actually happened in that, you know, the nonsense of it. You know, like,
sheer nonsense, yeah.
So, and I say, like, watching this, this Age of Sigmar one, I was just like, that is, yeah, if you want, basically, if your appeal is, I want to use this, I want to use one or two huge set piece things which dominate said games, that's Age of Sigmar. You know, you can only have one Nagash, say, but it's all you're going to need, isn't it? You know, like, it's, yeah, there he is.
Well,
you know,
he's
like,
going to kill him.
He's going to be in every
Undead army. You could probably play him through a whole tournament, he won't die in a whole tournament.
I think he'd almost, I mean, he'd need the same kind of level of character to take him out. In the first place, yeah.
Maybe there isn't another character.
I don't know. I mean, it just. I enjoyed painting those Sigmar Marines there, but, you know, I like what Shadespire is. It's limited. It's like, I've got my 5 Skaven, I've got my 3 Sigmar Marines. Like, you know, some of the nonsense of Age of Sigmar would annoy me. Like, what's that supposed to be? You know, like, is it like this huge thing? Is it in terms of, and you would just be like, that's ridiculous.
Well, when I was a kid, not that long ago, maybe like 10, 15 years ago when I started, like, seriously wargaming, there was no, people weren't allowed to play special characters. You just weren't allowed to. In the clubs I played at, I mean, like, it was the kind of thing that kids and noobs did. Because they could never fucking balance these things. It was just a waste of time trying to. Because in the fluff, they're so strong.
Yeah.
Like, if you made Hulk in Marvel Miniatures as strong as the Hulk should really be...
Well, yeah.
Fucking forget about it.
Yeah,
then.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... and now they've not only made it that special characters are kind of the norm, but Forge World stuff is the fucking norm. Any old shit.
Yeah,
you could never use Forge World stuff without permission from your opponent.
Yeah.
And even last night there was fucking... What the fuck is this? Oh, this is this... Like, special character tank with a fucking handkerchief gun. So, I don't know. Yeah. Whatever the shit is, I don't know, mate. Yeah, it's not going to matter. Because we're not going to be killing Boxwalkers.
I'm going to dictate what you shoot at. But, yeah.
But that's where the game went wrong, when they suddenly, like, opened all boundaries.
Yeah. Because the thing is, because, honestly, I turned up to this thing. Like, because, you know, I was like, I'm quite, yeah, I was free. I was wanting to hang out and stuff. And if I would have been open to being impressed... Like, I would have, like, when I didn't know how Epic Armageddon was going to play, you know, but I was willing to give it a try.
It's a good game.
Yeah, I was willing to give it a try, you know, but I'm like, here I am. Like, because I turned up with a huge army, and I was like, what's good? What do I do? You know, how do I play this game? I've read some of the rules, so not all of it, you know, life, but, you know, and that's the thing, and I was like, with it, I was like, well... You know, on our main topic, you know, like, I have opinions about Ancients. They're not all fantastic. Like, I have pros and cons, definitely, to it.
I definitely prefer the epic you're playing to the other fucking silly...
Net epic, yeah.
Whatever that madness was.
I mean, but the thing is with Epic Armageddon, I was talking to Steve afterwards. So the issue is that what the plus point is you have loads of army lists. They have... Epic UK and Epic Big Scene like have done army lists for every faction in 40k and multiples of themes lists in, and they've balanced, they've got them like the point of Epic UK was to get rid of the ones that were stupid.
Yeah.
Which they've done. You know, like, and yeah, there is loads of choice. Like, you know, even your humble Marines have tons of choice, but they're limited in the sense that it's you know, you can't, they haven't invented anything new in fluff wise that GW didn't go there. Like, so for example, your Tau don't have a Titan because the GW never wrote that they had Titans. So they haven't got, like, invented some new class of model that's a Titan. Now,
there's no blueprint to even make as one.
No, exactly. And
what would it do? What would it look like?
You know, yeah. It'd be jump packs for a start. But it's like, you know, what I'm saying is so they are kind of limited in a design concept because they stuck it in the... in the world that was, you know, what was ever written about in 40k. And he's like, okay, well, you just take that on it. But when you play the game at a certain point size, which standard in 40, in Epic Armageddon is 3,000 points, maybe 4. Well, I don't think, taking like a Warlord Titan, like up there on the shelf, that might be as much a negative as a plus point, because you can manage them quite easily. You know, obviously, they shoot at something, they do some damage. But if you force them to assault something, yeah, as in you engage them, they have to spend their turn doing that. And like, so like literally you might send a detachment of scouts and one of them will tag, you know, the Titan. That's what the Titan's got to do. And all those points are sunk into doing a very little in its activation, which it's forced to do. Right. It can't split its fire. Not like in Net Epic where you can just shoot off whatever you wanted. You know, like that thing attacks that thing. And the heavy point sink of that thing can be a detriment.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, like, that those two Warhounds, the Reavers and the Warlord, that would be easily a 3,000-point army of Armageddon as a list, as a Titan Legion list.
Uh-huh.
Is it any good? Probably not, because how's it going to do the objectives?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like, you know, as in, you know, it probably won't be that good. You know, but in a sense, so all I'm saying is the game system will limit the issues of it. You know, you couldn't play it too small, you couldn't play it too big. It's played at a certain level. Yeah, you know, and that's it. You know, it's like, and it benefits from having a really good tournament scenario, which incorporates lots of scenarios in one.
Yeah, it's like five in one.
The five in one tournament scenario.
It's good.
Yeah, anyway, so yeah, that was my point about Age of Sigmar as well. Just like as I mentioned. And I've been doing quite a bit of painting. I've painted since we last recorded. My Necromunda gang, my Orlocks are done.
Blue.
You can have a look.
I'm just guessing blue. Must be some blue,
blue on there. Yeah, like that's Bobby. Bobby.
So your highlight's blue.
Yes. And I've also
Bobby.
And I did a commission job. I did 8 D&D characters for Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to fly, Bobby?
He's coincidentally named the same guy because it's from Sam. It's from Sons of Anarchy.
Can you fly, Bobby?
That guy walked. Literally, the spitting image of that guy walked past my house.
Bitches out, or whatever he says. Right,
bitches leave.
Bitches leave. Okay. So we've had a bit of magic for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's very nice to be back at the club. The landlord was very upset. He says, not to go away again, because he hadn't hardly anybody in the last couple of weeks.
And so, from him, like, not wanting geeks in his pub, to, like, wanting geeks in his pub.
It's better have the geeks than nobody.
Yeah, well, exactly. But it's like, I think that was your original point, wasn't it, when you started there? It was like, look, your pub's dead. Can I use it? It's like, stop, you know, and then, don't want your type in here.
Yeah,
and
it's smelly
like,
geeks.
Then, like, 5 years later of income, he's like, I don't want you to leave.
It's good. I can't remember the old draft, last draft of the Dinosaurs Against Pirates draft, before you moved somewhere else. And then Wednesday, we played 40K.
40K, yeah, tell me about that. Because this was against a guy. It was first night at the club, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that's quite cool.
So I don't normally take on newbies. But he was looking for a game, and I didn't have the game, and it's short notice. But he was playing guard, and he got to choose the table.
So he went for an infantry bayonet assault.
That was it. He went for a Paul Winter gun line.
What else is he meant to do with guard?
There must be other things to do.
Not Mark, there.
Mark had a that wasn't really guard, was it? It was something else, some desert fucking things.
Oh yeah.
Horse born desert riders. Yeah. So he chose, he won the roll off to choose the table, so he chose long ways.
Yep.
So we're playing not across the table anymore, we're playing along the table.
Yep, of course. So get now real estate between you two.
So now he's,
So were you playing a scenario?
Yeah, but it was a very basic one because he didn't have cards.
Oh, okay.
So we had to go for one of the ones where you get a point for first kill, a point per unit,
yeah,
a point
standard,
for the war.
The stuff, yeah.
Mm. So it's basically as near to a pitch battle as you can get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even though the no man's land in the middle is 24, no matter which way you set at the table, if you're set at the back of the
Your deployment zone.
If he's at the back of his deployment and I'm at the front of as far as I can go, I think that there's still quite a lot of real estate
about
between.
36 inches, isn't
there? Yeah, there's quite a long way to slog. And I'm completely foot slogging.
Yeah. Well, you could have put someone on that Land Raider.
I could have done, but what?
I don't know, but you could have done.
More Poxwalkers. And my Poxwalkers, even with the buff that I take with them, the fastest they can move is 6. They move 4 and they can move up to D6 where they run.
Yeah.
So that's 10. So 4 turns is the best I can get there.
Yeah.
But luckily I had 4 units of Poxwalkers and I made him with his entire gun line shoot 1 unit of Poxwalkers per turn and I rotated which one.
Yeah.
I rotated which one.
Because you can.
Because I can. And 1 turn in the game.
Yeah.
I think the most he killed in a turn was 16. And 1 turn in a game.
Yeah.
Because he hadn't scored any points. I pushed some guys out. There was only a unit of 4 left. And I pushed them out and he killed them. That was the point he managed to kill.
Yeah.
Because he only got 1 point in the game, and that was that one. Because every time you have 4 units, and then you just send a new one to the front.
Yeah, of course you do.
And you say,
who's
shoot
next?
This one.
Shoot that one next.
And there's no battle shock.
No.
You got to kill them to a man.
Yeah.
They're resilient as ridiculousness.
Yeah.
So even
how many, as a point, I saw something in this new FAQ, with these Pox knockers, how many saving rolls do you, how many times do you roll the dice for them when one gets hit?
Actually, you only roll the resilience.
Oh, is that only one? Okay, because
the armor's 7 up.
Yeah, because that's, because they ain't got an armor, But they did what, they've done an FAQ where saying you can only roll an armor and then another save. You can't roll 3 dice. You can't make 3. I don't think you did, but it's possible to get combinations. Anyway, carry on. Sorry.
So, so he had a... My turn consisted of, I move a Land Raider up, shoot the Lance Cannons, try to kill whatever that fucking idiot in the tank was.
Pask.
And I shot, so that's 4 Lance Cannons a turn, 4 turns, 16 Lance Cannons AM. Yep. We're re-rolling ones. And he didn't die.
He didn't die the whole game.
Statistically
not likely.
Statistically, he should have died, twice over. Mm-hmm. But he didn't.
Yeah.
And then, so that was my entire shooting. That was my entire game. The Land Raider shot 4 times. And then the rest of the game was him shooting everything he had, which consisted of about maybe depending on how near I got, between 100 and 200 shots.
Yeah, yeah.
Per turn for 4 turns. Yeah, he just taking stuff off.
Yeah.
And at the end of the game, he killed nothing. It was just ridiculous how little he killed.
But you weren't regenerating your Pox Knockers back, were you?
No, I didn't need to, because you could never kill a unit.
Yeah, yeah. But so, you haven't got a mechanic. They only do that in combat, don't they?
They do that in combat. Yeah. And there's another way to do that. I've not taken it to that level yet.
Because you could make it worse, right?
You could make it another level worse with cultists.
Yeah. Make them die first.
And then as they die, they become
Pox Knockers.
So, and all I did, literally, to win was just kill a few little guard groups.
Yeah.
Nothing, because little platoons of guards take no wounds to kill.
Yeah.
Just the heavy bolters off the Land Raider killed them.
Yeah.
Over a couple of turns. But the game was just a fucking joke. People that play that game competitively must be insane.
The thing is, I was saying to Rodders as when I was playing him at Shadespire. And, because we started quite late because I was after. I said, the thing is it seems like you would be very rock, paper, scissors. So, you're going down one stratagem and he's fixed into what he's doing. So, you are both then, but you can almost, at the start, you can almost predict what's going to happen here. But it takes you the 2 hours of playing the game to play that out, don't you?
I wouldn't want to play that game more than once a year.
Yeah.
Because it's boring as shit, mate. And literally, all I'm doing is rolling forward and making resilience saves and taking models off.
Yeah, yeah. It's a
2.5 hours.
It's a effort in,
monotony.
Monotony, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the worst bit is, that technique would only work if I get the first turn.
Yeah.
Because if I don't get the first turn, the stuff I actually need to kill stuff is all gone.
Yeah.
At the end of the first turn, because all his stuff can now shoot anything it wants.
Yeah.
It just kills all the stuff I need.
Yeah.
At the back, the land raider.
If he's clever enough to target, like, yeah, to well, think about it.
Because I can't put my stratagems up.
And can you not? Like,
why not? It's in my movement phase.
Oh, it's in your movement phase. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, so...
So I mean, if I'm playing against someone like Shape,
yeah, yeah.
Turn one, I lose. Well, so he kills me. Re-rack.
To be honest, you just have to... Yeah, exactly. I think playing against... Well, that's the joke of it in the moment. It's like, against an army like Tau, you have to almost agree that he hasn't had the first turn. Because it's silly if you...
Because I've got nothing left.
Yeah.
All I've got left is the shit at the front that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, like, you might as well roll for dice for first turn. He wins it. Right, we've won once. Like, it's like, second game, let's leave it all as it is. Roll for first turn.
Oh, you won again.
Won again. Ah, oh, well done you. And like, okay. Really like, oh. So you could get through, like, quite a few games in the evening, and he ends up winning, like, he ends up winning 5-1. But, you know.
I'm not sure I would. Anyway, so the game is a bit silly, is what I'm going to say. It's fun for an occasional blast.
But the thing is, what it's allowed, like, I'd be the same, like, in the sense that, like, it allows you to play that person who's new to the club. And when you, like, get a chance to, like, sort of talk to the guy in between moves and stuff, you can say, you know, there are better games than this out there.
He was getting quite frustrated with killing the pork stock. He'd been taking it, like, quite well.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was also explaining to him that these gunline armies don't tend to work, in my opinion. It's because when you get into the game proper, there's, like, objectives and stuff. And how are you going to take them? You're just going to sit here. All the objectives are over the other side of the table and you're sat on your back.
You have to sacrifice some... You have to point to some mobility to... get something forward to get it, yeah.
Well, it's not just one objective, is it?
Yeah, it's more than that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because some of them, it doesn't actually matter what you kill, does it? It's all the objectives.
Yeah, it's all who's holding the flag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I like that about the game, because gun lines are a pain in the arse to play against.
Yeah, but I mean, in a sense, it's like I've been saying on the Warmaster Rules Committee, and there is... And yeah, we need the stuff that's overdue, Barry.
Oh,
you need scenarios, because the most defensive army without scenarios is dull. You know, which, you know, you're humble.
Are you not going to let me play my Dwarf Engineers Guild? On a hill with the balloon of justice,
balloon of eyesight. but I'm saying that kind of thing. It's important that it's in a range of factions, because, you know, it has to be all extremes should be there. But the most defensive one, you know, is dull to play with and against if it's got no reason to move. Which. You know, in your example 40k you just talked about, is why would he have moved anyway? And probably he should have moved backwards shooting you.
I don't think he got anywhere to go back.
Yeah, but he'd already started off as far back as he can. But exactly. So it's Zulus at dawn, isn't it? You're the Zulus. He's, you know, he's the Redcoats. But you've got a land raider.
Hiding that can't be seen.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's enough 40k shit.
Yeah.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
So welcome back, we're going to talk about Warmaster Ancients.
We are.
Well, you're going to talk about it, and I'm going to pick your brain.
Yeah, so they make it all one way, but pick my brain about this. Okay, so what happened is we arranged to play a game of Day of Ancients, and Jeff's very much a champion of Ancients, and and it was cool. Okay, he'd recently moved further afield, and so we arranged it. The venue was it's fantastic as always. That pub's got a huge space.
It's lovely pub.
Like, food was fantastic. Yeah, I really liked it. It was all just so easy. Anyway, so I looked over the books of Ancients. Yeah, there's three. There's Warmaster Ancients, Warmaster Ancients Armies, and Warmaster Medieval Ancients. So you can't use Medieval because that's its own games. It's sort of its own. You can't put those lists against others. But you can use lists from Ancients or Ancients armies. And as well as there's quite a few online as well. Jeff actually used one that was online. I was like, okay, fair enough.
Right.
Yeah, like, so I used
Romans.
Romans at the Might. It was the Imperial Roman army. Which, so there's early Romans, late Romans, and in the middle is Imperial Romans, and that's why. When they're good. Yeah. Yeah, well, I think they're good.
Well, hardly any of them.
They're good. Yeah, like, yeah, that's because they're good. Yeah, like, yeah, so. Yeah, I went for that, and I didn't rather than proxy the models with non-models, I just went tokens. Yeah, like
it's a way to go.
And
you can spend a lot of money buying these models, and you're not even like the game. Just get some tokens.
Well, no, exactly. Like, I would never. I mean, I did get offered one at a very nice price, but I was like, I'm going to try the game first. You know,
Well, that's most unlike you.
Yeah, but I wouldn't buy in something.
I bought it anyway. I bought it. I couldn't help myself.
Well, this is the year of self-financing. So, anyway, I turned up my... and we played the games at 1,250 points. The standard is 1,000. So,
really?
You don't play 2,000 in Ancients. It's 1,000 is the standard. And
that's because of the amount of time it takes to play a game, is it?
That, and also the way the army lists are built. Some armies have huge min maximums.
Yeah, I did notice that.
And you don't play at 2,000 points.
I think when I first looked at this game, I was looking at the Celts or whatever.
Yeah, thinking it's 2,000 points.
Fucking hell, it's like 12.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah,
12.
Yeah. 12 warbands. Yeah.
So, Jesus, I'm not doing that. 24 units.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, you don't. Yeah, like the
even 12's bad.
Yeah, it is. But playing. They had decided beforehand that we were going to play a big game of Ancients, which is 1250.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't affect the min maximums. It's just it gives you 250 more points to chuck around. Yeah.
So, but what's the difference between like a Roman and a Celt?
So okay. Talk to you. So my thoughts on the game system. Now, Now, obviously, if you wanted to play, armies that did exist in history, this is obviously going to float your boat. If you're a history fanatic,
like DBM or whatever, DBA,
like this, the amount of army lists that there are there's tons of them. Mm. So that I can appreciate
Carthage
that.
With elephants,
everything. Yeah, it's like every like reading through the Ancients book, like going over the rules. I was like, this is really well done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they thought of a lot of ancient armies to use against. Now, some of these armies
A lot of it is historical. Well, no, you're not having to invent the wheel.
But they have done...
You
can have the Spartans. You can have the 300 Spartans. You can have the Persian Immortals. You know, like, direct opposites against them. Mm-hmm. Like, so you're like... But, and there's nothing to stop you fighting the Spartans against the Celts. Yeah, for example. Even though these races were divided by geography and hundreds of years... They will fight against each other perfectly fine. You can't fight the medieval armies against them because the medieval armies have knights. Knights have four-up armor. You just can't do it. You know, like and medieval armies start to have artillery. You know, but what I was so okay that I get to see that. That's a big pro if it's your thing. You know, it's not historical reenacting because it's an abstract rule set. And obviously, the writers of it originally, Priestley, has had to grade how he thinks some things are good and some things are bad. Who knows if what these people were really like?
I'm pretty sure elephants were good.
On a limb and say they were pretty good. But a con against it is everybody in every army is a man, either on foot or on a horse. There's one or two like elephant units that is like. Is a bit different, but the vast majority, like of army lists, are men either on foot, armed with something, or men even horse, armed with something. I really missed the fantasy of
in comparing. So everybody's six up armor, I guess.
Six or five. There's no fours.
Unless medieval.
There's so in my Romans, like the cream, five up armor. You know, the universal. Is three hits everywhere. Everything is three hits. You know, like, you know, because they're men.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think like, literally, like, your elite one unit you're allowed to upgrade to be the Spartan 300s have, like, four hits. You know, and they're still a 5-up armour.
Yeah, I like mean, given that, they've only got loincloths.
They're good, they're hard. Oh, those big shields. Yeah.
Yeah,
so I felt that, like, I did really miss the fantasy element. There was no, like, what's that? Oh, it's a troll going against an ogre. That's a giant over there. And, like, what's that flying up in the sky? It's a fucking, like, lizard thing riding a pterodactyl. And it's like, what the fuck
is there
that?
Any terror?
Very little.
Elephant.
Very little. Yeah, elephants would cause terror.
And then
yeah.
I can't think of anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I think chariots have a different role.
There's no
they?
Magic, obviously, and again, so I really missed the fantasy.
Well, magic is a bit minimal in the game.
No, but like, but there wasn't like
in the Warmaster universe.
None of the armies would have like really good shooting. Yeah, shall I explain the two games I played?
Yeah, go on then. Yeah,
okay, so my first game, we just drew lots, so like rolled dice who would play who. I went against Jeff. So my Imperial Roman army, which looked tiny, you know, like was against his. Basically, it's a fan army list, and it's the Alexander the Great's army list. Once he started incorporating Indians into it,
okay.
So he's got elephants as well as Greek phalanxes.
The elephants, the lore of the elephants.
But he's got only had one unit.
Yeah,
I mean they're pricey. So okay, and now my Roman army has, quite a lot of Roman infantry. Yeah, as in, well, not a lot, but like it's got Roman infantry.
But they have different quality. They have auxiliary.
I didn't bother the auxiliary because they're like, I just only want true Romans. Yeah, like, and I had one veteran in the legion, which I called the 13th Legion. That's my 13th boys. Yeah, like, and I've got my general, and I even went for the only bit of essentially magic item in it is that you can get portents, which allows you to have a command reroll once per game. That's it.
Okay.
Your generals. Yeah. So I've got three characters. General here, two heroes. They have a new top class of character in Ancients called a subordinate.
Right.
And they only have they're the wizards. They only have command 20 and
leadership 7.
Yeah, and they're prone for fucking up like quite badly. Which is quite cool. Yeah, like because they invented a new, instead of having wizards, they have a different class of character.
So you've got 7, 8, 9 on the leadership, is
it? Romans, I have 9 and 8. There's no command 10.
The 7 is the wizards, the subordinates.
But Romans don't have subordinates.
All right, so just 8
like, but yeah, there's, like, some special characters ordering their household troops would be 10. Okay. Like, your Scipio, for example, ordering, I don't know, the best Roman boys or something, but there's no no army list just has a command 10 general.
Good.
Yeah, so that tells you something, doesn't it? Yeah, like
leadership 10's good.
Yeah, leadership 10 is good. But I'm saying like none of the armies have seemed like an overpower of shooting. So my first game was against Jeff and his this hybrid of Greek.
Greek Indian.
And okay, so it goes off, it goes quite well, and I'm like, all right, I haven't got a lot of troops, but my Romans don't need a lot of troops. They have this rule, universal rule called legion, which means that they in the first round of combat, when they're fighting to the front, they are supported, regardless if they actually are supported or not. And if they're supported, they're supported twice. So they score 2 combat res.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, so that's pretty good. That allows my line of Romans to beat well above their number.
Well, it also means you don't charge them in the front when they're supported.
No. But it's only for the first round of combat. And this game system has most of what Revolution has taken from it. So there's only 2 rounds of combat, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, playing it, it was basically to me, it was like, it's exactly the same rule set of Revolution, except it didn't have the half pace move for a failed order. And I really noticed that in the game.
But that's not in Revolution.
That's
an optional rule.
But to my eyes, that is an optional rule that you should have.
Well, you could take that as an optional rule back into the original Warmaster.
Yes, you could have done, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can do. I'm saying go ahead and do it, because it makes a big difference.
In terms of the core rule set, after reading through, like I had to remember my own unique army rules. And I'll speak after I score, but remind me, I'll tell you about how warbands work and how skirmishers work are very different. They're two really interesting unit types.
Okay, well, good.
I wanted to play Romans, because I just like Romans. You know, like, and I wanted to see how this Legion rule worked. And it was cool. Like, when I won my fights first round.
To the front. Of course you did.
I won them. But then I haven't got that benefit again. So I have to be really... I had to be careful. And I can't replace my casualties. Like, I don't have a lot of Romans. Strung out battlefield. You know, like, I'm, like, vying for position. There's a lot of ancients. There's a lot of playing for time. Like, you know, like, you're going to have an upwards of maybe 8 turns. But the combat doesn't seem to be as decisive as in Warmaster because...
Well, it's no scenarios. It's just pitch battle.
No, it's just pitch battle. Yeah, so. Yeah, but it doesn't seem to be as decisive as in Warmaster because you don't have, like, oh, here's my elite heavy boar cavalry charging your goblins or something.
So if I can't get you in the flank, I won't get you at all. I won't bother
kinda,
at all.
Kinda, yeah. I mean, like, again, that's probably to the game's system's negative. You know, like, because there isn't as big a distinction between... the best things in the game and the worst things in the game. Not in the way that your dragon ogres are significantly better than your skinks. You know, like, you know, no matter how the skinks attack the dragon ogres, the skinks are probably going to lose. You know, like,
handsomely.
Handsomely. So, okay, that's, you know, that's the thing in this game system. And, but I did get a lucky, you know, move off where my cavalry went against, because I was like, Romans, my army list just can't take much cavalry. Like, I can take some light cavalry, I've got one unit of heavy cavalry, well, really not heavy cavalry, normal cavalry. You know, and, five up armour cavalry, but still based long ways rather than short edge. Like, heavy cavalry.
Yeah, heavy cavalry.
Shot cavalry goes short, which is the norm in Revolution.
Yeah, so, like, you're as wide as an infantry stand.
Yeah, and you notice it. Like, you're like, ooh, cavalry ain't so good. You're like, so...
Well, how are you going to win combats? If you charge an infantry brigade, you're losing that combat.
No, if you attack them to the front, yeah.
Yeah? That's weird, isn't it?
So I was like, I didn't have very little to chase cavalry. So I was like, I need to... He had quite a bit of cavalry. Less quality, obviously, because I'm Roman. You know, like, but, you know, he's got a lot of it. And I'm like, I need to peace trade well here. You know, and so I definitely want my cavalry to take more than they give. So I got the drop on his through, you know, better dice and beat his cavalry back. And my one unit of heavy cavalry ended beyond his line. To be counters, and I expected them to lose. They somehow spiked it out of the bag and actually didn't, like, they actually drew a combat they really, really should have lost. So they ended up behind his lines, facing and rear charged his elephants when I hit his elephants in the front with my infantry. So I killed his elephants quite easily. Wow. And I was like, win, win, winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Wow, that is a big win. So imagine elephants are short based.
Yes, they are. I got the drop on them.
They're gonna be stinging.
You know, like, and gave them nowhere to retreat and won in one round of combat. But again, thanks to my Legion rule. What I did find difficult. Where that went really well and against where it should have done. What didn't go so well is he got his first turns. He got more orders off than me. Got his troops further forward and took up the scenery pieces of the game. And my Romans kept bouncing, trying to get much inferior troops out of scenery. I just kept rolling poorly.
They supported the things.
Not generally. They're defended, but, like, wow. Not really.
I mean, it's not that easy to get stuff out of terrain.
Not when the troops you're sending in. Yeah, okay. But my Romans are still only men, and I'm fighting against men.
You're getting 3 attacks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was difficult. It took most of the game just to dislodge him from a couple of positions. I managed to sneak some light cavalry around his line. You get additional negative command benefits for flanking people. Like, if you have troops in your flank and your flank's exposed, you get an additional negative one in Warmaster.
So minus two.
Yeah.
To order.
Enemy near and enemy in your flank. My God. Yeah. So some of my light cavalry managed to get around the flank of his army and really gave him some, like, he just couldn't.
And you're not going to, I think the 10 centimeter might be overpowered then. If you're allowed to kind of flip round on a failed order.
Well, yeah, but
you're making them order on a 6 generally.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's without any damage.
Yeah, exactly.
That's hard.
And your light cavalry is chucking a few missiles and causing some disruption. Not casualties, but some drivebacks. It was really, like, I noticed that in the call rules. I was like, if that happens, that's a really strong thing. And it was kind of happening on my right-hand side as well. A lot of my infantry got hamstrung by light cavalry, not through casualties, just the fact that they were there. Mm. You know, it was just like, no, I can't turn to engage, and when I can turn to engage, I can't chase him away, because I don't...
They just run away when
Romans just don't have much cavalry. Yeah. That's the weakness of the list. While my artillery brigade, which is a catapult and two bolt throwers, a Roman equivalents, just, again, it's like, it certainly weren't a unit of two units of cannons. So I was like, even when I was drawing a bead on what I wanted to shoot, and the targeting rules, they only fire directly ahead. So actually, I could aim these artillery pieces. I could actually choose what I was firing at by getting an order and just lining them up on what I wanted to shoot at. So actually, I wasn't restricted in the way ancients, as a revolution is, of fire at the closest. I could actually pick what I wanted to fire at. But, you know, because, yeah, obviously, a mass of crap, you know, like, as in, like, well, which unit you're going to pick on. Like, even when I could draw it all, a bead on, I didn't really cause many casualties for shooting. And Romans would have... Romans are one of the few ancient armies that actually has artillery.
Yeah, yeah, they are.
You know, like, so... Because... And they, and that artillery has a rule called slow, which means that they get additional negative ones, negatives, for subsequent orders. You can't really... you can't reposition them once a turn. More than that, you're probably going to fail the roll. So
what was game two then? Did you win that one?
I won that one. Yeah. So I won it, but
you won
I won
first
it.
Game, yeah?
I won it against. I won it against Jeff, but it was close. But you know, neither of us broke each other. You know, like you know, I won by causing more damage.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the eight turns of it up. But I, you know, I, somehow my army kept fighting, even though it was like the numbers wise of it was just like it didn't look that many. So my second game then was against Janus, because Janus beat Jim. You know, like Jim had brought this Norse, no, basically Russian, they're called the Rus. So the Vikings that settled in Russia and got harder. You know, like,
because Vikings are soft.
Yeah, so like this crazy flagellant style Rus army list that Janus put down, and he was using the Persian army of, you know, the Persians of 300. You know, like
the elephants.
Yeah, so he's got no, he hasn't got elephants.
No elephants.
But his commander was, because they're quite like the special characters in ancients. Okay. His commander was Xerxes.
Yeah.
But he didn't take the immortals, actually. But what he did take was a lot of Persian infantry, regular infantry, which has bows. So it's a 3-3-6, one shot infantry. So that three attacks, three hits,
like
one shoot. High elf archers.
Yeah,
yes.
But we're hitting on fours.
Yeah. So basically, the majority of his fighting army was that unit.
Which is not bad, really.
No, it wasn't.
Like halberdiers
and
bow.
It kicked my ass. You know, so like basically, I played against Alex Janus, and yeah, that unit type beat the shit out of my Romans.
Like, did he have many of them?
He had shit tons. You know, like
doesn't sound anything like Janus.
Yeah. So not that his firing did a lot, because it was hard for him to draw a lot on one target, but it allowed him to disrupt me a lot and win the fights when
But when you charge him, those make a difference. Those three attacks make a difference.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, his armor's not that much worse.
So my game against...
I wonder how many points now? Typical Janus, man. I'll take 36 units of these archers.
Yeah. So my game against him was on the same table, and again, like, Janus got the early command roles and took the positions. And I, to be honest, I realised... I sent my Roman infantry into attack against this much more numbers of enemy infantry, and I probably formed my army a bit wrong in the sense that I tried to probably spread it out too much, when what I should have done is just gone, right, balls to the wall, four columns of Romans right into you. Okay. You know, like, and that, you know...
Can't shoot me while I'm fighting.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm going... General, that's what we're doing. Yeah, nothing else matters. You know, I didn't do that. You know, I tried to spread my army out too much. And basically, that Janus won it, and that troop type just beat my ass, really. I was just like... Yeah, my Romans weren't peace trading well at all, and they cost a lot more points than his stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that was the two games. I won one, lost one. I enjoyed it, you know, and I certainly after chatting about it, you know, over dinner, because we went for the regular curry. I said, like,
well, which curry has the yellow one?
The yellow one, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I like that one.
I said,
it's a lowbrow one.
Yeah, yeah. I said, like, well, book a date and I would happily play another Day of Ancients, you know, like...
Book a tournament!
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, maybe in a tournament. Like, I did enjoy it. It wasn't like... if you weighed up between the two, I'd rather play Revolution, you know, for the reasons, like I've said. It's like, is in... I like the fantasy, you know. But this Ancients wasn't bad. You know, like, I enjoyed pushing Romans around, and there's so many army lists that there's some other interesting ones.
Well, you'd have to take Romans with some chaff. They did take chaff with them.
Yeah. I think
slaves. Thracians.
Auxiliaries would be the ones to use, because they're Roman infantry about the Roman rules. Yeah,
cheaper.
It makes them cheap, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so... other thoughts about it.
Tell me a bit about skirmishers, because they were different.
So that's a completely new troop type, which isn't in Warmaster.
Well, it is, but it doesn't do this.
Yeah, so, okay, so your skirmishers are your very cheap units, like 25 points?
Slingers.
Yeah, missile troops who have, like, one attack in melee.
One?
It's basically...
What's the goblins?
Yeah, they are, like, their stats are awful. But they have these, basically... They don't count to your break, so
yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
we
so
like that.
They're dirt cheap and they don't count towards your break.
Like Ray's dead,
basically. And they can get a thing called a skirmisher evade. So when you charge them, they can evade as a reaction to the charge.
Oh, to what distance?
To their movement distance. So
unless you've been charged by cavalry, you're always escaping.
Yes, exactly. They have to move at least 5. And if they're skirmisher cavalry, if they are quicker than the thing that's chasing them, that's charging them, they even get to shoot first and then disappear. You might even get 3 hits and cause.
What if you go through your own gear? Do you burst through and cause confusion?
It's if you're running through your own stuff, and I think if it's non-skirmisher, there's a chance you might get
on a 6-up or something.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. If it's skirmishers, though, it's not the skirmishers run past skirmishers. But so it's this interesting, like, first layer troop type, and you're like, okay, so what's the point of them? They don't cause any damage, but they do disrupt. They do get in the way. Now, if you
harder to order.
So, so it's something that you're. That your cavalry needs to clear away first. If you want to, if I have infantry, so I've got some Romans here with some skirmishers in front of them, like barbarians, you know, I've just like subdued, you know, and you're against a mass of lots of infantry, you know, I can dictate the fight, because if you charge me, the skirmishers are out in front, the skirmishers take the charge, run away, and then your troops are left there. And they'll need other orders and stuff. Like, in they,
if I fail my order,
they're just
charge, maybe.
Yeah. So then on the return, my skirmishers run through my stuff. Then in return, my Romans can charge you in my
initiative.
Stuff. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Right. So it's a really interesting troop type. And I was like.
But does that not mean that you're both trying to do that and no one wants to commit?
It can. The problem is, yes, it can.
Which is where the 12,000 fucking bowmen. Just kill all the skirmishers.
Well, you know, skirmisher cavalry are a really interesting troop type because they're doing that as well as being on horse. You know, so they can like, but you know, basically, you kind of you in a way the.
But you just shoot them. You wouldn't try and chase them down because you can't get to them.
Well, I suppose so, but it might.
Because what's going to be quicker than 30? They're all flies.
No, there's no flies. No, no,
so
exactly.
Nothing can chase them down.
Nothing can chase their cavalry down. No, they can do it twice. So if you might have to set up a situation where you have to charge them, they evade, and then you charge them again with something else. Yeah, like as in they can evade twice in one turn.
Sounds quite awkward to do.
Yeah, it would be because
do you have to evade in a straight line away?
Yes, I think
okay,
so.
Okay, you could maybe set that up.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and you have to move at least 5. But if you move up to 5, you know. And you're still within the charge distance of the unit, that doesn't matter. The unit, just that unit moves to where you were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't catch you. They don't move further and go to where you are.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So they have to stop where you were, mm-hmm. even if they had more movement than that.
Yes.
Oh, right,
yeah.
Okay.
They charge to where you were, you back off. That's it.
What about chariots?
Chariots.
Did you see them in action?
No, none of the armies had chariots.
I read a bit about chariots and they're like one shot, like missiles. I think I saw. Maybe that's in the medieval. Maybe.
Well, I mean, I didn't, none of the armies that I had chariots in this.
So you have a big chariot, and it goes in and does like D6 wounds.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's gone.
Oh, okay.
Destroyed.
So destroyed. Mm, makes sense. Yeah.
Because they fell apart when you threw them into a big fucking brigade of people.
Yeah, fair enough.
The guys jumped off.
So anyway, the rules for the rules of skirmishes were really interesting. They couldn't. That can't translate into. Let's try and see if we put it into Warmaster Revolution, because they just don't exist.
They would exist.
Well, no, but in terms of I don't think Revolution, like Warmaster Revolution, needs them.
But some army lists might need them. I don't think they'd be overpowered, because I'd just find a way to get rid of them.
No.
I wouldn't even worry, or I'd find a way to. There are more things you can do in this game. Like, you could hit them with flyers. They ain't running away from flyers.
No, they just get mown. They just get chased to bits. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, you could have skirmishes and maybe Albion, because those slingers don't do fucking anything, do they?
I suppose so.
You have to take them. They don't do anything.
Yeah, I suppose.
So make them a bit cheaper. Make them.
Yeah.
A skirmisher.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to mention was the warband rules. So that's a troop type called warband, which means that when you are pursuing, you gain you gain an additional. I don't think it's a charge. But basically, when the fight's going for you, you're much better. When it's going against you, you're much worse. So pursuing, you get an additional attack for pursuing. If you've beaten and you're backing off, you get a negative one.
So two attacks.
Yeah. So your three dice go to four or two, respectively, if you're going forward or back.
Well, you can imagine that.
Yeah. Because they're not disciplined troops.
No.
Yeah.
So if we're winning, let's go fucking do it. If we're losing, run away!
Literally. Run away! And they also get benefits. If your warband, if you've got troop types only of warband, they get a +1 to command. Because if they're just warbands getting orders.
A brigade.
Yeah, a brigade. So all it is warband. I think that...
Until they lose casualties or just forever?
What I'll do is... Because this is something I suggested on the committee, on the wrist here. I'll put it up for you. Okay, so...
Oh, you just put a suggestion in here.
So warband rule. Warbands represent close fighting, but often poorly organised infantry or cavalry, generally tribal troops, barbarians, a levée or militia. They lack training or experience. These troops become confident in large numbers and when flushed with victory, but timid when few in numbers once they've been beaten. If three or four units of warband are given a brigade order, the player adds one to the command value up to a maximum of 10. The entire brigade to comprise warband units, and there must be at least three units in the brigade. If a warband unit is driven back by shooting but has not yet lost a stand, it rolls one less dice for drive back as usual, like if it was defended. The warband is driven back by shooting and has lost one or more stands, it rolls an additional dice, than usual. And if the warband pursues in combat, it gains a further +1. The following pursuer, if it retreats, then it is a -1. So there's three things there.
What happens in normal. This is ancients.
So I suggested that would be perfect in the Orc and Goblin list.
Sounds quite strong to me.
Yeah, but if you imagine that it went in the Orc and Goblin list and Orcs had this rule and Goblins had this rule, that'd be quite interesting, I think.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Might be too good. Because it's not just one buff, is it? It's like two buffs.
It gives you a command buff.
And an attack buff.
And an attack... Well, it gives you a command buff, a help against being and then two things which are both buffs and negatives if you've lost stats.
Oh, so you're not giving them the extra attack for warband?
What the?
Because I thought they had +1 attack as well, charging.
No, that doesn't exist. That isn't a rule.
Oh, where did that come from?
You just made it up.
About, were we?
No, yeah, but you got it wrong.
I just made it up. I like making stuff up.
Yeah. So anyway, I suggested it. Because I could see that. What would be a warband and. There would definitely be in Orcs and Goblins. They'd probably be in Skaven as well, but like Orcs and Goblins.
You don't need any leadership.
No, as I'm saying. But like Orcs do.
Goblins don't. Goblins are not brave even in fucking numbers.
Oh, okay, so they just don't get
would
it.
They?
Yeah.
Nah. Orcs, maybe. Orcs.
Anyway, I floated it on the committee because it's like part of playing some ancient games is to see. Oh, what's an interesting rule? Is that something that could go into Revolution?
Orcs definitely need it. Even with the plus, they're only going to 9.
Yeah.
Because the general's eight. So, yeah.
What would be really interesting with the orcs and goblins is that, say, orc warriors had war band, but black orcs don't, because black orcs are organised.
Yeah, they are organised.
Yeah.
And tooled up.
Yeah. So that would be really interesting then in your army list, is you've got some troops which are wild and, you know, are good when it's going well, and they're shite when it's going against them.
Well, you could have the feral orcs knocking about. You could have like a troop type feral orc.
Yeah.
And like savage orcs. Yeah. This would be them.
Yeah,
brigade
exactly.
of these fucking idiots.
Yeah, yeah. Like, good when they're going forward, bad when it's going back. Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, anyway, I floated on the committee. Yeah, when you bring yourself up to speed, have a look at it.
Okay, will do, will do. Right, okay, so we've done more than an hour, so we've got some tidying up to do, so we're going to have to... We might come back to this topic, because hopefully I'll play a game of this soon. It's on my list
of ancients. Yeah, sure. I mean, there's loads of army lists. You know, there's, it's easy enough to play. You know, just remember that we played at 1,000 points, not 2.
Yeah, definitely 1,000 points.
Definitely
1,000 points. Hey, man, you seen those 10mm ogres, man? Gotta get me some of those sweet ass 10mm ogres, man. I could brother up, man, I'm jonesing.
Quit your jibber jabber, fool, and get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
Okay, so welcome back. We're gonna have a little Blackgate Miniatures update. Now you've had a little jingle. Jingle a thumb.
That advert is hilarious.
Well, my kids like it.
Yeah. Are you trying to be Barry White in it?
No, I'm just trying to be some like 70s drug addict.
Right, okay.
Hanging out looking for his fix.
Fantastic.
The other one's supposed to be Mr. T.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I had to pitch bend my voice with using some software.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so we finished.
Yeah.
Well, not quite finished, but all of production's finished. It was amazing how long it took to pack up the greenlings.
Well, there's lots of them. I have 6 precious units of greenlings here.
So there were 24 miniatures in a bag. Mm-hmm. Some of them are in 2s. And 200-something bags, 230 bags. It took fucking ages. It took about 5 hours to bag the bastards.
The greenlings, we trust, it was 5 well-spent hours.
Should
your kids do it?
They did. Yeah. They were bellyaching so much.
Get to work.
And now I'm packaging them up, but it's much more complicated than last time, because last time all I had was 3 unit types.
Yep.
So it's like, oh, send me so many warriors, so many this, put them in a box, go.
Yep.
Now there's like 15 different choices or something, so I've got to go around, I've got like all the packing, all the... I've had to take off my garage just to do the packing.
So, so am I the first recipient of...
No, somewhere in the post. I'm doing about maybe... because I've got fitting in around other things. I'm doing about 10 or 12 packs a day.
Yep.
So by the end of next week, everything will be shipped.
Yep.
It's amazing. Some people haven't even kind of decided what they want yet. So.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
It's just weird, isn't it? Some people... There's the whole thing with Kickstarter. We'll have to have a talk next week about Kickstarter, but...
As a topic?
Yeah, sure. There's loads to say, isn't it? Kickstarter.
There's loads to say. I mean, like, in fact, it'd be a good episode, because we could run down various Kickstarters and be like, well, we thought of that. Like, I mean, the confrontation one is a conversation.
Yeah. I mean...
That's...
Well, I know we've got some international red. Jeez, man, I like the game as much as anyone.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of factions, but Jesus, wait. They're talking about 1,500 miniatures, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Individual. Yes. 1,500 individual miniatures.
Topic for next time.
Yep. Madness. right, so if you did back in the next few weeks, next few days, you should get an invoice.
Yeah.
Pay the invoice, stuff gets sent out.
Yep.
And then my next job after that is to get a web, web store running.
Yeah. Because there's certainly some people who want to buy it.
Yeah, and then I'm going to just relax.
Yeah.
I'm not going to worry about anything over the summer. I've got gardening to do.
Yeah. Games to play.
Stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have a think when the autumn comes around, and then we lose the sun again. If we ever get any. This is probably it. This is probably summer's done.
Oh, this was summer, was it?
Summer,
I just had. Right, okay.
18th of April, just for the day.
Was the summer. Yeah, got it.
Okay, so, that's it. So, just sorry it's taking so fucking long.
Side thing, is Blackgate Miniatures going to do any prize support for the London GT?
I don't know about London GT. You're already fucking awash with support, so it'd be like pissing in the breeze. They're only, how many players? 15, 16?
18.
Yeah. that looks like quite a lot of stuff.
Right, okay.
And
so,
KR as well, and, yeah, the stuff, okay, for, and yeah, stuff from
yeah,
the event.
Yeah, which is more than what KR normally do, yeah, for us, because it's like they're backing the... Okay. Yeah. So, like, yeah.
But I am supporting the Sterling.
Mm. Okay, fair enough.
Because, yeah, because I'll make sure the Sterling gets some stuff, maybe mm-hmm. some freebies, mm-hmm. some art bits, and yeah, some prizes for first and third.
Fantastic. Okay, so, well done, Barry. So, into the London GT, I had the delivery...
Sorry, how long have we got now? Less than a month.
It is May the 18th and 19th, isn't it?
About a month.
19th,
20th? About a month.
Yeah, so, yeah, a month ago. Yeah, literally to the day. And all the prize support has come in, so there is a lot of from Polar Fox.
Thank you, Belle. So thank just, you, Belle. Just can I just pick this up?
Yep.
There we go. That, you can't hear that, but there's about 20 blisters from Belle. So
yeah.
So it's probably going to be one per entrant. I would have thought for this thing. This one. Go on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, probably. I mean, so
go on.
What we have, we basically three miniature companies have provided support.
And one told you to fuck off.
Which you just heard. You know, like, so Polar Fox.
He sent a very generic letter to me. Email. Yeah,
well, of course it is. What do you want? Individually.
You could have just text me or
no, I'm not treating you any different. Right. Magister Millstrom and Pendraken have all provided support. And they have been consistently the companies that have sent support. So thank you very much to all three of those companies. That is fantastic. Obviously, there will be a big old prize for first, second and third. And
well, the prize for first will be insane again.
It should be. I mean, yeah.
Will it be this and then...
Probably.
And
yeah,
then a big
like,
case yeah, and yeah, then a I trophy. Mean,
yeah, they'll, you know, they're doing medals for the event, like the organisers. I am chatting. I am hoping that the scenery that is used for each table... might be offered out as, you know, is it better that it's used by players than put into a lock-up? You know, if they bring these players, can bring it back.
You know, can't so players to bring it back.
Well, we'll see.
As,
I mean,
as
like,
nice as it might
yeah,
be.
Like, I mean,
or might be able to use it for an event.
Yeah, yeah. So,
have you seen this? Bell's done a load of pigs.
Yeah, I don't know where they are on his website, but they are.
Well, not all this stuff is on his website,
yeah,
but these are like strips of pigs.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, like...
I like a pig as much as the next man, but I don't know whether I'm going to use it. What's this fella? Oh, it's a sphinx, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot, Bell. Thanks a lot, Magister Millstrom.
Yeah.
And thanks to Lord Pendraken.
Pendraken.
Who sent a goblin army.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, that is a fucking lot.
I mean, look on the back, it shows you what is on there. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of lead. If you feel that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's lead or not, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a heavy blob of 30 quid or whatever it is. So, yeah, it's going to be a good event.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I mean,
Five rounds.
And, you know, two battle line, three other scenarios. I'm just really hoping that the people that have travelled far have a good time, really. But I figured that, well, the whole event itself... It can't really go wrong. That you know, Zach, who runs, you know, is the head of a guy on the London GT. I mean, they're providing everything, Barry. You know, they're providing, you know, all the scenery for the tables, you know, some prize support, the venue, etc. You know, I'm going to go along to one of their scenery building days, you know, and give my time.
To help them?
Just to see and like see how it's done. Like, and look and see, like, check what, like, if I can, what the Warmaster tables are going to get. And, you know, and spend the day helping them out. Because, why not? You know, like, I'm just intrigued to see it. But, yeah.
It's going to be an epic event.
Oh, well,
I remember going out on a Saturday night.
We are going out on a Saturday night.
Is that going to be in London or is that going to be here? Does it depend where people are going?
We'll have to chat about this beforehand, but, you know, what we want to say publicly to the players about it, I'm not sure. You know, like, to the ones that have never, like, some who have never been to England before, they won't know, you know, like, and it might be best to say, this is us, this is what we're going to do, please join us if you want to, you know, and this is where we'll be then, maybe. I don't know.
Depends where they're staying, I guess. If they're staying in London, we'll have to go out in London.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we'll find out, won't we? But there'll be a group of people who, like Christoph, because he's crashing, you know, at ours anyway, and, you know, this American, like, well, I guess they're going to defaultly join us anyway. They're not going to do their own thing because we're their meal ticket. Yeah. I think.
Okay, cool.
So it's the winner, who probably is going to be Janus, isn't it? Yeah,
is
but like, yeah, he's playing. You know, like,
damn him.
You know, like, so, yeah, like, so he'll deserve it.
No, we're back on our territory there. We're not playing this ancient shenanigans.
we had a good conversation about because I've got the player list. Do you want to see the player list?
No.
But about the player list.
No grudge matches, yeah?
No, I mean, unless both sides want it, why not? I mean, the first round draw will be totally random.
Okay.
You know, because, as I say, like, there's a lot to win, you know. But, you know, Janet, I mean, whoever does win it will have won. The only one who wins 5 games, you know, that's...
Well, sometimes you don't need 5 games. Sometimes it just goes that way, that you'll need 4. You're only just going into the 5, just fractionally.
I'm hoping that the winner then needed the 5 and gets the 5.
Well, sometimes you win at 4, so
yeah,
mm-hmm. That's not a bad thing. You still get to play the 5th game and just, mm-hmm. Yeah, just friendly.
Just for lols.
Mm. Well, it's been a reasonably long episode, I think. I think we've probably done like an hour and 20 already. So we probably should wrap it up.
Okay, cool.
So if you want to get in touch with us, you can do it on Facebook. It's a pretty good place.
Yeah, yeah.
Or warmasterpodcast@gmail.com.
Yep.
Episode, that was 91.
91, Warmaster Ancients.
With Paul and Barry.
Yeah, so thanks for listening.
Good night.
Would you like to know more?